Hey, hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hello, welcome to Hummel Lab. This is Hummel Lab 108. And not only is it Hummel Lab 108, it is the first Hummel Lab of 2014.
To celebrate, we've come to heaven.
Yeah, here's the thing. First of all, that's...
Literally.
That's Lucio over there. That's Jen Brister over there. I'm Baylen Leonard. And yeah, we are quite literally in the world-famous nightclub Heaven, where GAY is staged. And it is a Sunday, and it is 2:30 in the afternoon. Now, not only have I never been to Heaven at 2:30 in the afternoon, I have never been to Heaven sober. Would you like to tell us why we're at Heaven, Jen Brister?
Yeah, I would. We're here because Gay Star News are hosting an LGBT travel... I don't know, what are we
It's
here?
A travel show. It's a travel extravaganza, we're having.
So, yeah, lots of people selling gay holidays in various destinations.
Yeah, exactly. And not just gay holidays, but also gay organizations that organize trips and holidays and cruises and expeditions.
I've been looking around, though, and I haven't seen a Russian stand here or a Nigerian stand.
Or a Ugandan
stand.
That's weird.
Odd that. You know, on that tip, I saw, I don't know if any of you guys saw this or not, but there was a news story that was, it was all about countries with the most horrid anti-gay and lesbian legislation. It turns out that those countries have the highest downloads of gay and lesbian porn.
Which is no surprise.
No surprise.
Do those countries have the internet? That's what I'm most surprised about.
Clearly.
Yeah, exactly. So on this week's Hummel Lab, as we said, we're here at Heaven at the Gay Star Beach Party, their gay and lesbian travel event. So we're going to go around and we're going to talk to a lot of the people that are here representing different destinations and different organizations, and we're going to find out why you, dear listener, should spend your pink pound going to these destinations or getting involved. So we're gonna hear from a lot of different places, because you know it's probably what's the end of January. A lot of people are thinking about their holidays, their summer holidays. So we're gonna give you some ideas. Basically, we're also going to. I went to a play this week. I went to a dance play hybrid.
Oh my god! I thought you said something else. You went to see a dance play.
It's kind of a dance play. It's all the rage right now to have promenade theater where you walk around from room to room. And I did that. This play was kind of inspired by the works of Tennessee Williams. So we're going to be speaking to Chris Pollock, who is an actor in that play, a little bit later on. But I feel like, no, we shouldn't. I started to say I feel like we should catch up on what's happened at the beginning of this year. But it's too late. Like, if people now wish me
I don't even remember.
You can't wish Happy New Year anymore.
No, but people are still doing that. I'm still getting emails from people going, Happy New Year.
Well,
that's because they're cunts.
I sent that... Oh right. Sorry. That is unbelievable. Thanks, Lucio. I sent you one this very morning wishing you Happy New Year.
You did.
Just as I've said that is the... It's over. It's like 20 days in. What am I doing?
Exactly.
And you did it.
And I did it. Shame on me.
Yeah, so everybody stop doing that now, please.
It's because if you haven't seen somebody, and that's the first time you've seen them in 2014, but then how far does that go?
You can't really do it in July.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Get out of here.
Yeah, don't wish anybody Happy New Year in July. As a matter of fact, I think that, we got like a little over a week left of January. So I reckon it's possibly acceptable to do it until the end of January, but not beyond that.
I mean, around about what we have actually done is spent 2 minutes now wishing people a Happy New Year.
Yeah, sorry
about that. So we should probably move
on. Okay, let's retract that.
Okay, so I know what we should do, guys. Let's now take you, dear listener, on a virtual trip around the Gay Star News Travel Fiesta here at Heaven Nightclub in world-famous London, England, and find out what's going on. And, ooh.
Something's happening in 10 minutes.
There's a swimsuit show getting ready to happen in a minute.
I can't cope with that. It's too many speedos.
But here, let's have a little sample of what's here.
Ho, mo,
loud.
Ho, mo,
loud. It's Chris Knight, and I'm from Outdoor Lads. Outdoor Lads is the UK's biggest outdoor pursuits charity aimed at gay and bi men. And we have 20,000 members across the country, and we do about 1,000 events a year. We do climbing, hiking, camping, weekends away, whitewater rafting, skiing, basically every kind of outdoor pursuits we do, and we do events UK and overseas. For example, this weekend we've got 16 events happening across the country, and so, you know, we've got hundreds of guys out this weekend doing stuff. I'd say just give it a go. You know, we do a lot of taster sessions or beginners activities in every activity that we do. Those are running all the time. So, I mean, everything's on our website, which is outdoorlads.com, and you can just check on there and everything's listed there. So it's really easy to get involved, and you don't need any experience to start.
Ho-mo.
Lab.
Ho-mo.
My name's Jo. The company's called Unbound Expeditions, and I'm the expedition planner for South America. So today what we've got on offer is our first LGBT expedition. So we run expeditions for gap year students and mainstream stuff, and we've decided that we want to move into this market. We've got a lot of people that work for the company that are LGBT. I'm LGBT, and we're just very aware that some people are nervous about going away and doing group expeditions or group trips when they're not sure how they're going to be accepted both by the group and in a destination. So by doing an LGBT trip, which is going to go away to Ecuador and the Galapagos Islands in November, it's going to be an LGBT group, it's going to be an LGBT leader, and obviously you're working with an LGBT company that can offer you advice and guidance without you feeling nervous or awkward about talking to us. It's 2 weeks long, so the first week you spend on mainland Ecuador out in the rainforest. You're spending 3 days working on a turtle conservation project, helping to build and renovate some of the turtle breeding pens that they've got there to try and reintroduce them to that part of the river. You then travel upriver by canoe, and we actually move you in with one of the indigenous communities. What we do is, when you're working on the project, you'll be working in your expedition group. When you go to the community, we pair people up and we put each pair into a different family within the community, and that's basically an opportunity for people to just go out and do whatever it is that that community does for the day, whatever that family does for the day. And that's sort of complete cultural immersion, the type of thing that you don't get to do as a typical tourist. You might go out onto the river fishing with the family and go home in the evening, and they'll show you how to cook the fish in the traditional ways. You may go out and help them to harvest. A lot of them grow cocoa for making chocolate, and they go out into the jungle onto their farms and help them harvest the cocoa or plant the cocoa depending on the season. So it's the opportunity to do something completely different and off the beaten trail. Second week's the Galapagos Islands. Spend 4 days on a boat trip. So a boat cruise around a lot of the islands. You're with a Galapagos guide. He can talk to you about some of the wildlife and talk to you about the history of the islands. And it's basically an opportunity also to do loads of snorkeling off the back of the boat, swimming with giant sea turtles, swimming with sea lions, Galapagos penguins, all of that kind of stuff. And you then spend 2 days on one of the main islands, Santa Cruz, and that's your beach time. To give you a bit of a balance between the hardcore off the beaten trail stuff that you do in the rainforest, so then go to the Galapagos Islands, spend some time on the beach, go out for some drinks in the evening and celebrate the time that you've spent on expedition. The Galapagos Islands is just something that you have to experience. It's really, really fantastic. Where the wildlife is so protected and they've been on their own for so long, they're not afraid of people because they don't see people as a threat. So when you go out swimming and snorkeling in the Galapagos Islands, you'll be within arm's reach of giant sea turtles. You get the small sea lion pups coming up and playing with you and nipping at your fins and stuff like that, because they don't see you as a threat. And that's really, you feel very privileged to be in that sort of environment. It's fantastic. The trip goes out 15th of November to the 29th of November. It's £2,795, but that includes all of your international flights, your flights from Quito to the Galapagos Islands, 4-day boat cruise, includes your entry taxes to the Galapagos Islands, all your accommodation, all of your transport, all of your food on your main phases. So the idea is that once you pay for the trip, you're just going out with pocket money. You only have to pay your deposit to sign up and secure your place, and then we spread your payments out over the build-up to the expedition, so the next 10 months, so that it's easier, more affordable for people. The website is www.unbound-expeditions.com. When you go onto the website, there's a link to go through to what we call the pink pages, so our LGBT expeditions. That's got all of the information about the expedition, and you can email us from there as well.
Ho-mo.
Lab.
Ho-mo.
Sweden is a very open and inclusive country, I would say. The friends that I've got that go to Stockholm and other places in Sweden say that Sweden's inclusive. You see the LGBT community is very integrated in the society there. For example, in Swedish cities, you never see really a gay area, you know, a gay suburb, which you see in other European cities across in Europe. In Swedish cities, everything is much more integrated, and you see the gay culture spread out everywhere. And I think that that is something, you know, positive. It's more integrated. It's not, you know, hidden away in certain districts, really. And that's what I like with the Swedish cities. Then, of course, you know, you've got loads of different reasons to go to Sweden. You've got the city breaks, Stockholm, Gothenburg, Malmö, which is, you know, amazing in the summertime. Stockholm and Gothenburg with their beautiful archipelagos. You've got Malmö with their Skåne. Malmö is sort of the region, Skåne, where you have the sandy beaches and all that. And then that's all summer destinations. This time of year, actually, I'm going in February. I'm going up to Swedish Lapland myself. Swedish Lapland is right up in the north. And it's about 3.5 hours flight from the UK, and then you come up to something really, really remote. Up there, we've got the iconic Ice Hotel, for example. That's up in Swedish Lapland, which is rebuilt every year, and then it melts down into the river. And then you also got up in Swedish Lapland, you've got the Northern Light, of course. And the Northern Light you can see from various points, but my little hidden gem, that's if you go up to Aurora Sky Station, which is an hour north of Kiruna, where you fly into for the Ice Hotel. Aurora Sky Station, that is a must if you want to see the Northern Light in the wintertime. Sweden has got this perception of being a little bit more pricey than maybe other countries. I would say that go to Sweden and upgrade. It's an upgrade to go to Sweden.
Ho, mo,
wow.
Ho, mo.
I'm Michelle Roberts, and I work for the Israel Government Tourist Office, and I'm here representing Israel as a very positive gay destination, with a lot of concentration specifically on Tel Aviv, because frankly, Tel Aviv is probably one of the most gay-friendly places on the planet. It doesn't make a difference. Straight, gay, male, female, Israelis are beautiful people, very nice. And if you go to something like the Pride event, not only do you get the beautiful Israelis, you get people from all over the world coming in the Pride event. And just to let you know, the Pride event is running. This year, the week starts on the 8th, it ends on the 14th, and the big gay Pride parade is on the 13th. The 13th of June, that's actually the big gay Pride parade. However, please understand that Israel, and especially Tel Aviv, is gay-friendly all year round. You do not have to just go during Pride Week. Any time of year you go there, the clubs are there. You'll see rainbow flags all over the place. It is a very liberal, open, fun place to visit.
Ho, mo.
Wow.
Ho, mo.
So there you go. If you want any information about any of those destinations, it was all there. And we will also post links on our website, Twitter, and Facebook.
And Tumblr. There's a paddling pool in here, which me and Jen, we braved going to look at the paddling pool.
It was dusty.
Well, the thing is, this travel show was going on last night at GAY.
Yep.
Which means there was a whole lot of very horny 18-year-old boys, probably quite drunk, sat in a paddling pool.
In a very cloudy pool. That's all I want to say. Very cloudy.
Well, I think that's part of the show, maybe. I think that's part of the catwalk show, no?
No. Why don't you go into a paddling pool as part of a catwalk show?
Maybe. Because it's a swimwear show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What, do you think they're just doing, like, fashion at the travel show?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. It could be just a lot of lesbians in fleece coats. I don't know. Maybe.
So anyway, out of all the destinations we've been to, which one do you most want to go on, Jen?
I really I genuinely think I'd like to go to Stockholm now. I've always wanted to go, but I have been persuaded further still.
I would love to go to Stockholm. I would love to go...
What about the Keys, Baylen? Do you want to go to
Sweden.
The Keys?
Yeah, Key West, Florida is obviously represented here. And I have been to every American state, except for Alaska and Hawaii. Every single state except for Florida. So I think I need to change that and go to Key West.
I've been to Key West.
And?
Well, apparently it's changed. I went like a long time ago, 20 years ago. Can you believe it? That's disgusting.
Were you five?
Huh?
Be five at
Thank
the time.
Thank you, Lucio. You
That's
can stay.
All right.
Had you just graduated college?
No, I was in my second... Oh, look, you can always do it. No, I was in my second year. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The only thing I remember about Key West, it was either men in Speedos or elderly people in Winnebagos. Apparently, the elderly people have been elbowed out.
Have they died?
And now it's just Speedos a go-go, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I think that we also need to recognise that there are loads, and we're not that far away from that. You know, loads of ladies and gentlemen of a certain age within our community, and they need to be looked after as well.
Absolutely, but these people were not gay.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay, I need to point that out very clearly now. In fact, somebody asked me what kind of Inuit I was, so that'll give you an idea of where, of what the gender... I didn't even know what it meant. I was like, I don't know, a gay one? What do you want?
As we've been going around this travel show, Jenna's been telling me some very funny stories about her travel experiences and what she's being confused for.
That's a different show. That's a different show.
Where would you like to go, Luciano Pavarotti?
Well, you know me, I want to go everywhere. I'd love to go to Israel because I haven't been.
Well,
controversial.
I know it's controversial, but, you know, it's there.
Yeah, well, as we heard from the lovely lady at the Visit Tel Aviv stand, there's a lot going on.
It looks stunning.
It looks beautiful.
It looks absolutely beautiful, Tel Aviv, and I'll leave it there.
There was a bit of there were gay Palestinians protesting this travel show yesterday because Tel Aviv is represented here.
Well, when there's a gay trip to Gaza.
Controversial.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Remember, you can... Oh, we'd love to know where you're going. Have you already made your travel plans? Have you gotten some new ideas from the travel show? Did you come to the travel show? Where are you going on holiday? Have you booked it yet? Or where would you like to go? You can let us know. We are at Homolab on Twitter. Please tell us. Now, should we go to the theater, you guys?
Yeah!
Do I have to?
Lucio doesn't like the theater.
Oh, Jen. Really?
Well, Balin doesn't like darts or snooker.
Oh my God.
My God, you guys, how did you get together?
I don't know.
I do not know.
Lucio, for the past, what feels like, month, has been watching snooker and darts on television every
January's
full day. The darts is incredible. I've been watching the darts.
The darts is amazing,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely incredible. Not just the darts, but like the whole shebang. The
All
hair,
of it.
The beer.
The music they come out to.
And these guys are completely out of shape and like they come out like they're boxers. You know, their beer guts are like literally... smashing
around.
Small children in the face, and they're like, hey, coming out with their incredible plaited mullets. It's insane. I miss it.
Every now and again, I'll be downstairs doing something useful, and I will just hear Lucio upstairs goes, 180!
It is exciting.
It is exciting. What I'd said to Balin, which he wouldn't do, is sit down, watch 5 minutes, you'll be engrossed, and you'll not leave the sofa now for 2 weeks.
You will, and also you learn stuff, like maths.
You do. Maths is amazing.
Oh my
maths.
God, you're like, okay, you need a double 12 now.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Wow, Jen, do you want to come over and watch Darts with Lucio?
Yeah, I'll bring the beers.
Well, I'll tell you what, next year, let's just go to Frimley Green.
Oh my God,
and drink beers with Dutch people.
Yeah,
and
I'll get a foam finger.
Yeah.
Well, while you've been doing that, I've been going out and having culture happen to me and around me. So I've went to a show called The Day Shall Declare It. It's currently playing at the Marylebone Pleasure Gardens, which is on Marylebone High Street. It's actually the old BBC London building where I broadcast and did award-winning radio for years and years. But it's now an entertainment venue. So I went along to see the show. And then afterwards, I had a chat with actor Chris Pollack. I started off by letting him tell us what the show is.
Homo.
Loud.
Homo.
Loud.
It's a lot of buzzwords. It's an immersive take on largely two Tennessee Williams short plays, which we have, I guess, pulled apart, kind of explored in different ways, particularly physical ways. So it's really a physical theatre, immersive take on Tennessee Williams. And then also looking at the way people work and largely taking text from Studs Terkel, this great book, which I think came out in the 70s, where he did interviews, verbatim interviews with people about their jobs.
And it's very physical. There's a lot of dance. There's a lot of movement. And there's a lot of talking and dance at the same time, which isn't something that you always see in theatre or dance.
No, I mean... inevitably, people. Well, our choreographer was in Punch Drunk. Has done a lot with Punch Drunk, and so obviously people notice that kind of element. It's a big thing at the moment. But they, you know, they don't use text, and it's hard trying to. It's hard. It's interesting. It's fun trying to merge those worlds because I think you can end up with a lot going on, and there is a lot going on in the show. You know, whilst we're trying to do the moves, not hit audience members in the head, remember the lines, you've seen it, you know, jumping off washing lines and all that kind of thing. And when we get it right, I think it's kind of it's kind of thrilling and also kind of intimate for the audience. You're really there.
It is very intimate in that, and it's also quite tactile as well, because the audience is being touched, the audience is being moved about, and a lot of times it seems like the audience is a bit in your way as well, but I'm assuming that's part of it.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. It's a big thing for us is to learn how to... It's different every day. Any show is different every day, but this really is, because you don't know what the audience are going to do, don't know where they're going to be. And sometimes, like yesterday, they came in, for instance, to the main space that I'm in, and they all settled around the outside, and it was super easy. Today, when you were in, it was a scrum. They all decided to kind of congregate in the middle and kind of watch and huddle around us. And we really, as well as doing everything else, you have to try and keep an eye on how to gently, ideally, very gently, manipulate people and let them feel sort of loved and part of the action, but not shoved.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, in the heat of the moment, you do get a little...
Get out of the way. I got somewhere to be.
Yeah, exactly. But hopefully that doesn't happen. We're getting much better with that. It's a real learning curve.
Well, you know, I think that's a really good technique just for moving through crowds in general. Like, you know, in a club, my whole technique to get through a crowd is to gently place my hand on someone's shoulder and guide them away. And that seems to be what you guys are doing
exactly.
as well.
All that clubbing I've done over the years is really paying off now.
There's an underlying cut, like all... that I can think of, Tennessee Williams plays, there's an underlying kind of homoeroticism to this, well, to part of this show
Kind of happened? Annie and I did part of it, Mooney's Kid Don't Cry, a while back. Then I in LA workshopped Talk to Me Like the Rain, which in this piece is the basically all that's left is a bathtub. And I had to go away. And when we'd researched the Talk to Me Like a Rain play, the guy says, oh, I've been passed around in the city. He's an unemployed guy. He's waking up in hotels with cigarette burns. And it seemed to me really obvious that he's going off and having these kind of scurrilous adventures, and he's probably a rent boy. And then, because I went away, and we had to get another actor in to do that bit, so we ended up with two guys and a girl. And as we read more, the inevitable thing to come back to was, okay, it's Tennessee Williams. What's the gay element? Is that in there? How could we begin to explore that? So we kind of ended up with a third room as well in this space. I'm like, what do we do with the third room? Okay, guy and girl in one room, guy and girl in the other, and the two guys. And began to explore that using scraps of Tennessee Williams plays, scraps of letters that he's done, short stories, and have kind of, in a way, devised a new bit that we're calling the gentleman's room with sort of two... vaguely posh guys, they're not really, and this strange kind of atmosphere between them, and sort of using that to explore that repressed sexuality, which is at the heart of a lot of the plays, and actually using those scraps from other plays kind of shines a light on it, I think. And it's in a very surreal way, purposefully surreal.
Homo.
Loud.
Homo. Loud.
There was Chris Pollock. The Day Shall Declare It is the name of the show. It's on until the 1st of February. And we will tweet links on our Facebook, our Twitter, and our Tumblr. So go see it. Okay.
Jen, you have a show coming up in February, which I want a free ticket to.
Okay, yeah. Now, it's not my show, but
is it
I am
darts?
In it. I wish it was darts, but it is basically a les, bi, trans, penine.
What's penine?
I don't know.
Trans penine is a bit of a northern joke. It's a way of crossing the big hills.
So,
oh, right.
So from Manchester.
I got you.
Yeah,
hilarious.
Anyway, it's really, really good fun. It's from the brains of Lisa Ray and Cicely Giddings, and I am in it, and it's at the Soho Theatre on the 3rd of February, and it promises to be insane, and it's held at a women's conference.
How are you spelling women's?
Is there a Y in that?
W-I-M-M-I-N-S. Women's. And it's a lot.
Do you not include a Y anymore?
I think there's a Y in it. Is that not a Y?
Not in our one.
Listen, don't tell a lesbian how to spell women.
It'll be loads of fun. And it's a one night only. But also, I am doing some gigs with the lovely David Mills.
David Mills, who we've had on Homolab before and who is a dear friend.
And he will be doing his show at the beginning of March at Soho Theatre. Go see that. If you live in the UK and London, do come.
Do you know what I realise is that I've never actually seen you do stand-up.
I've seen Jen do stand-up.
I've never been to one of your shows or seen you on stage do stand-up. For all I know, You could be rubbish.
Yeah. Well, I am.
You might not even do it.
It's a myth. What is great is that Jen risked a stand-up and no one's ever seen me do stand-up.
I've seen you do stand-up.
Oh, Lucio has. Oh, damn it. Okay. Yeah. That was a weird gig, wasn't it? Was it the Labour...
Well, it's weird for you. Everyone else was fun.
It was genuinely weird for me. And at points, I thought there was one person in particular who looked like they were going to fall asleep. I took quite personally until I realised Lucio had fell asleep in front of everyone. It's fine.
Lucio does that a lot. I'm surprised he's not. I mean, we are in a nightclub, so I'm quite surprised he's not asleep right now.
It's 2 in the afternoon, don't be stupid.
There's a speaker you can go over there and curl up in. He actually fell asleep inside a speaker at a nightclub once.
Why not? It was comfortable.
You know the really big speakers that are like, you know, really massive sub. I think it wasn't even a speaker; it was a subwoofer.
Right.
Woofer.
You were the woofer.
Yeah, there was a woofer and a woofer.
Inside
the
woofer. Also, Homolab, dear listeners, we are going to now, from this point forward, in order to bring you a better podcast and to focus it more and to have better content, better interviews, and a higher production value, we are now going to go monthly. So Homolab is now going to be available monthly, and we're refreshing everything and... reconfirming our love and commitment to Gay Star News and vice versa. And we're just going to freshen things up, basically. And
that's code for Balen cannot be asked to do it every week, okay? No, that's what that's code for.
No, it's just, you know, there's three of us.
One of you.
And one of me. No, you know, it's going to be better for all concerned.
Oh, God, I make myself laugh. That's terrible. I'll get my code.
Do you do that on stage?
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I am the only person laughing.
So
I thought that was part of the show.
Oh, okay, get out.
All right. So let's go. Do you think we can get a drink at the bar now?
Oh, God. I'm doing dry January.
Are you?
Yeah.
No.
It's been 20 days. I didn't even drink on New Year's Eve.
Oh, dear God.
Because I had an ear infection.
But that wasn't January.
You're hashtag dry January.
I'm hashtag dry.
And is that just the...
I mean January, dry January.
You aren't asking people to sponsor you, are you?
No,
because
I'm not,
that pisses me right off.
I'm actually not sponsoring just doing you. It. I'm just doing it.
To not do something.
I'm not asking people for money just because I'm not drinking. That's bizarre.
Why? Anyway, I don't agree with January.
No, well, I don't agree with it. Oh, well, I better stop then. Can I have two whiskeys, please? No, I'm doing it because I just wanted to give my body a rest. Listen, I haven't had...
Are you going to get shit-faced February 1st?
No, I'm not. I'm going to really...
Shit-faced February.
I'm not going to get shit-faced February.
Fucked
I'm
up February.
Fucked up February, yeah, that'll be more like it. I'm definitely just going to take drugs in February, so... And maybe pick up the drink. I'm joking. I don't even do drugs, so... Don't do drugs, kids. They're bad. No, I just wanted to...
No, some drugs are good if you need them.
I can't even go there like, just in case my mum's listening.
You know.
And the likelihood of that is zero. She doesn't
right, okay.
know. Has she ever seen you on stage?
Yeah, loads. Yeah, she's the only one.
All right, well, listen, we are done here. I hope everybody's having a brilliant start to 2014. See, that's different than saying Happy New Year.
Like, if you have a heart problem, statins are probably good. So some drugs are good for you.
Lucia, we've moved on.
Yeah, we've moved on. We're saying goodbye now. Thank you all for listening. We will be back with you with a newly...
Happy New Year.
We'll be back with a new look Homolab in a month's time. So
yeah,
until
I'm
going
to wear a different cardigan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Say bye, everybody.
Bye.
And somebody say we've been the queers and you here.
Oh, we've been the queers and you here.
Bye.
Homo. Lab. Homo. Lab.